Character sheets are on the table. Find yours and have a seat.
We haven't played in years. It'll be fun.
Role-playing game?
Let's begin.
Welcome to my interview today with Matt Metzger. Matt Metzger is the creator, writer, you have so many titles involved with this, but is the new web series The Campaign, which hasn't been released yet, but we've talked to Josh Warren before from Action Show Studios about the show and have been talking about it for quite a while now. So I'm glad you were able to come on the show. Welcome, Matt. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, sir.
So where are we with The Campaign and when can we expect to see it?
So right now, we are going to be finishing episode 4 and episode 5 in the next month. So by July, we should be done filming. Everything will be in post. And then in August, late August, it's supposed to release on the Fantasy Network. Right now, we do have a Patreon. It's just the patreon.com/thecampaignshow. And you can actually watch a lot of our behind the scenes and some of the footage and some of the episodes already on that.
What's the Fantasy Network?
So the Fantasy Network, it is a streaming service that's online. They do a lot of different web series. They do AFK, which a lot of fantasy aligned nerdery TV shows and movies. AFK is a pretty big one. Some Vampire Hunter movies, pretty fun stuff like that. It's a really great site.
Cool. And your show will be, now how long is each episode? I've watched the first one. Are they all about 15 minutes, like 15 minutes long?
The first one we kept pretty short, but after that one, most of them run about 20 to 25 minutes.
Okay. And that's suitable for commercials if need be, right?
Yeah. That's the idea. That's the goal.
Now, reading the description, I'm going to read the description. It says, a tight-knit group of high school friends who reunite 10 years after graduating and decide to pick up where they left off. Maybe expand on that a little bit. Were you a gamer? Did you do these games when you were in college or high school?
Oh, yeah. So I'm the youngest of 5 kids, so we always had games laying around to play. And high school for me was, as a nerd, I was in the good years when being a nerd was cool. So
I was not in that. I did not fall into that category. I fell into the you're a nerd and you're a loser.
Yeah, my big brother was there. That's why he's pretty pissed at me when I went into high school. It's like, you getting picked on? No, man. Everyone's pretty cool. Iron Man's big.
I know. I had Iron Man was my favorite comic book in the early 80s, you know, all through the 80s.
Oh, sure.
And the old storylines where Tony Stark was an alcoholic and he had to give it up to Stain and all that crap. And then Rhodey became Iron Man.
Yep.
You kept that stuff inside of a folder when you took it to school and you hope no one would see it because they would take it, tear it up or laugh at you.
Oh, man. See, when me and my buddy in high school, we started a comic book club. We actually got like 45 members to join, which,
oh,
I mean, our school was small. Like there's 400 kids in all 4 grades for high school.
Where'd you go to school?
Keystone. It's tiny farm town area tiny high school in a farm town area called LaGrange, Ohio.
Okay. I'm from Pennsylvania in a little farm town, Mansfield, Pennsylvania, not Mansfield.
I know Mansfield.
You do? You've been there?
Yeah. There's a Mansfield, Ohio, and then there's the Pennsylvania.
Right. And there's a little university there. So I grew up, went to elementary, high school, and college there, and finally got the heck out.
Yeah. Full circle.
One of the co-hosts of Radio Labyrinth with me is Jeff Lieboff. We grew up together. We've known each other for a long, long time, over 40 years. So we had to go to another town to join the comic book club.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And it was Corning, New York. You know, there wasn't really one in our town. But we were juniors or seniors in high school, and we would drive there once a week. And it was awesome because we'd go got pizza and then hang out with, and there were adults. And we're like, oh, my God, these guys are adults and they like comic books. So.
See, that's fun. That's really cool.
Yeah.
For ours, I convinced the principal to let us take a field trip to literally leave school and go see Iron Man 2.
Nice. So we used to play Dungeons and Dragons. Our scoutmaster, we were Boy Scouts, so we'd go to this little camp and we set up and play Dungeons and Dragons. And then the the Scoutmaster was of this religion that if you play this, you're summoning demons and the devil and everything. And so that's the kind of stuff we ran into. You know, you're a nerd and you're a loser and you're summoning the devil. But nowadays, and I think maybe what, 10 years ago, you didn't face that kind of scrutiny. So,
well, even in, I mean, I think the first time I ever really played Dungeons and Dragons, I was pretty young. But when I really started diving into it, it was like right after high school, a little bit in college, and then more after college. Because I think that's when it kind of started coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even
fun when you're older too, because you don't have to restrain yourself and you can do goofy things, you know, dirty things, whatever. I mean, that's what our dungeon master and we always had the same one in college because he was really good at it and he was really funny. He always put me in precarious situations. But let's talk about, enough about me. Let's talk about how the show came about. How did you come up with the idea and how did you get it to fruition? Because that's a hard thing to do.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so initially, you know, I had been playing Dungeons and Dragons for a long time and I was a dungeon master, I want to say, for like 10 years before I started, you know, coming up with this idea for a show. And I had the idea loosely in college already. And my roommate just kept telling me, nah, man, that's way too hard to even attempt to do. And it's like, yeah, you're not wrong. So after a while, you know, I ended up living in Atlanta, started getting in with Sketchworks Comedy and getting to know more people. And I LARPed for a while. And that's how I met the makeup artist. His name's Alex Brychek. And, you know, we were sword brothers. So after a while, it's like, hey, man, if I brought you a show, would you make a monster for me? And he's like, sure. Yeah. So then I reached out to Bill, that's a head writer of Sketchworks Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He still is now. I think he is. And Bill's a very critical guy. So I figured if I could answer every question that he had, then it was time to make the show. And I answered every question and he joined the writing team, and me, him, John, and Kathy just wrote episode one. We got our makeup artist. Josh actually called me when I did the casting stuff for the show. And it was honestly one of the greater calls, phone calls I've ever had, just because it was like, hey man, I like what you're doing. I got a studio. And I'm like, we need a studio. That sounds great.
Yeah. I love Josh. He's funny.
I do too. The guy's awesome. But so then we just kept running with it. To go backwards a little bit, there was an improv show I was doing at the time for a couple of years called Funyuns and Flagons, the D&D improv show where the audience would actually make the quest instead of me, the dungeon master.
That's a good idea.
So even the DM, like I never knew what we were going to be doing for that improv show.
And were they able to come up with it? Did they know what they were talking about? Or was it just...
Not necessarily. So what I would do is it'd usually be a themed show. Like we had one that was noir style. We had one that was... we had an Easter one. So it was like a, you know, kind of rabbit themed, I guess. They're all loosely themed. But so I would make a Mad Lib. And it would say, you know, insert name here, the insert descriptor here is trying to take this, which has this power. And then I would just get the words from the audience.
Oh, that's fun.
Without telling them the Mad Lib, so that it's really a surprise. But anyway, so from there, I got to know some comic book fans and D&D fans. And one of the ones I met was a gal named Adelie Murray. And I came to find out she was a costumer and just made chainmail for fun. So we hired her right away.
No doubt.
And then we finished the episode one sometime in August of 2019, I want to say. And then that same year we took it to Conjuration and a couple other conventions to show it off and, you know, try and crowdfund and stuff like that. And
are you gonna take it to Dragon Con this year?
I submitted two times. I think I'm going to submit a third time just to see if I can. It's probably too late now, but
no, it's not too late, I don't believe.
Oh well,
I just got the solicitation for media, so I'm assuming that it's not too late.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
at the
very least, if they have a parade, you can go down there, and or at least in any aspect, you know, if you get in, just do it in character and have the player show. I mean, the costume.
We were thinking about doing some kind of not performance, but have some kind of presence there. We just don't know what level it's going to be.
Last year sucked because prior to last year, and it'll get me to my next question, but prior to last year, I think it had been 12 straight years for me, maybe longer than that, of going to DragCon and not missing it.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one. I mean, there are people who have been going for 20 years, 20 plus years. And so that brings me to my question. How long have you been working on the show, and how bad did COVID hamper the production or getting even started with production?
Well, so we started making the show in, I want to say 2018, maybe 2019. I mean, it's kind of a blur. We definitely had to put a stop on things once everything started shutting down, because, you know, we wanted to keep everybody safe, protect everybody, make sure everybody was comfortable. And, you know, when everything was happening, nobody really knew what was going on. So it's a hard time to tell people, yeah, but we're going to keep on filming. You know, you can't do that. But we did everything we could to keep our head on high and take that extra time and use it well. So what we ended up doing was, I think we were wrapped on episode 2 when everything stopped. And at the time, we were filming at the Renaissance Festival too, which was really nice. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, they don't have running water, COVID guidelines. So it's really can't film there anymore.
They don't have running water there?
They do, but not in the off season.
Oh, okay.
They don't have access to it.
Did you get a turkey leg?
We didn't get turkey legs. However, on one of our future dates, one of our more recent, we were filming back in October, and our set designer, who he has this like 5 acres that he builds our sets on. Mm-hmm. He actually, for one of the meals, he did turkey legs for us.
Oh, nice.
It's kind of like, we missed Renfest this year, so here you go, kids.
They're delicious.
But so we took that quarantine time to do Zoom meetings with the writers to, you know, sort of look at our scripts again, see if we can make them even better than they were before. Have the actors join in on a couple Zoom meetings to have them read stuff. That way we could, you know, kind of not only get a better idea of direction for the show, but also make sure that when we go back to filming, it's better than when we left off.
I was on one of those, and I was
going to say, I remember you read for one.
So funny. Everybody was just so funny. I loved it.
I loved having you. That was such a fun day too.
I was like, I can't wait to watch this.
Yeah.
You mentioned in an email, we were going back and forth in email, that you actually coordinated and performed or participated in a stunt, the huge fight scene.
So recently, this was in episode 4. I had foolishly written in the script a big fight scene, and I had done a lot of stunt choreography and stunt work before. So this was something that I was like very passionate about. You know, I felt it would be hilarious if we actually had like this hardcore fight scene in the middle of all these, you know, comedic bits. And what wasn't funny was when I looked at all the characters involved, I was like, crap, this is 12 people. But I did choreograph it. Everybody learned and adapted and got really good at the choreography. I mean, the actors, the highwaymen, it was fantastic. And, you know, we got to use a lot of blood, which was good. Josh was very happy. We had some blood cannons on set. And Devin was happy. He plays our orc. He got to throw me. And he was very excited to do that.
The orc that you see in the first episode? Am I allowed to say that?
What's that?
The orc you see in the first episode? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, you can say that. I would say so. The pilot, we really set up to be kind of the catch. You know, it's a lot of setup, and then the very last second you see, oh crap, that's a real orc. And
it's a very, very well done orc as well. So I mean, just from that once, but for people who haven't seen it yet, the pilot episode is you guys getting together and playing the game, and then somehow, I won't say how, you end up in this new place, and the first thing you encounter is an orc, and the makeup, everything is fantastic. So good job on that.
Nice, nice. I wish I could take credit. That was definitely Alex Brychek on that one.
How much, speaking of blood cannons, how much, what's the balance between computer generated stuff and actual physical effects?
So we have kind of like rules for ourselves for the show. And one of the ones that I decided early on and Josh doubled down on, he really liked this idea. So we've only been pushing it further, is that we're doing everything as practical as possible. Any of the blood that you see in the show, none of it's CGI. Any of the makeup, costumes, even the sets, we use absolutely no CGI. There's I think in episode 1 and 2, only one point where we use CGI, and it's just for that teleportation effect, because that's a little harder for us to do. So we...
Great. I love all that old special effects stuff. You actually have to do it and time it and make it look real. Well, you do. You just have to. It's
cool. I think when, especially in fantasy genres, when you see CGI effects, they look good right now.
Yeah.
But in 10 years, I think the practical stuff ages better. I mean, you look at Neverending Story, that stuff still looks so real.
Yep.
Whereas some of the Dragonheart movies, yeesh.
How about The Last Starfighter?
Oh, gosh. I remember that movie.
When that came out, we were like, oh, my God, this is the best. This is it. It's computer graphics. You watch it now. And it's like, oh, wow.
Oh, no. This is like.
A great story, but.
Yeah. Well, even in episode 2, we have this. And this will be a minor spoiler. It's not a huge deal. We have our druid accidentally cast a spell where vines shoot out of the ground and capture somebody. Mm. We did that practically. We actually, Audley Murray is also a really talented puppeteer. So we made vines that we could like roll across the ground and then spring up. And then what we did was we wrapped the person in the vines, and filmed it in a way that we in the editing room would do it backwards.
Okay.
So we're pulling off the vines, then you know, reverse it. So it looks like the vines are crawling around him.
That's awesome.
It's a really fun effect to do.
How many episodes will there be?
So for season 1, we're going to do 10.
Okay.
We're doing a mid-season break. So once we get to episode 5, we're going to put those 5 episodes on Fantasy Network.
Okay.
And we're going to use those to kind of promote, market, and ideally gain funding to finish the series. At least the season. Yeah. What's up?
Has that been a challenge finding funding?
Yeah, yeah. We did a Seed and Spark campaign where we did get $10,000. And originally we were planning to do the entire 10 episodes with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what's happening at all. We found out pretty quickly, you know, the material costs, the makeup costs, production equipment to rent out what we need or to buy what we need to film it. It's expensive. It's very expensive. And especially in fantasy, catering alone is expensive.
Yeah, your food service, your craft services, we're going to stop by McDonald's or Pizza Hut or something like that.
So that's the thing. We actually tried to, we do like Costco catering.
Oh, nice.
It saves us a little bit. It's a little more prep. Like we'll actually cook some of the stuff and bring it on set the next day. That way, at the very least, we can give our actors and crew something nice to eat, you know?
I used to work on sets for television production, commercials, not film.
Sure.
Always craft services. And all I did as a PA was just eat because I didn't have any food at home. And then I would take the leftovers home. But that was in the old days when, you know, rich companies could afford that.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we wrap up, man, where can people go if they want to support or at least check out and find out more information?
So all of our social media stuff is going to be at The Campaign Show. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, it's all The Campaign Show.
All right.
We also have our own website. It's thecampaign.show. And then again, our Patreon is where most of our supporters head to. You can actually watch what we have going on, see behind the scenes, really fun behind the scenes writers moments too. And that's patreon.com/thecampaignshow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I will include all the links in the interview. So on YouTube, you can find them in the information. And then in the audio version of this, you guys will just have to drill down.
Oh, that's awesome.
Matt, thank you for spending some time with me today. Josh asked, I'm like, yeah, I got to jump on this. Slowly working. Well, I really love this idea and I want to support it. And I think it's something that I'm 50. Okay. And I think it's something that Gen X will like just as much as whatever they're calling the youngest people now. I don't know.
The youngest people now.
We were the first one. You guys are slackers and you don't like anything. And then everybody after you is going to also suck. But I don't believe in any of that. But I do like the idea because we all played it. We grew up, it was in our basements, and now it's on the internet. And it's a wonderful thing to see.
One of the things we're hoping to, or I mean, one of our biggest influences was Monty Python, not even just the Holy Grail, but a lot of the other stuff. Some of the jokes in there are a little crude, but we like them a lot.
But if they work, then it doesn't matter, right? I mean, it's like improv, they say don't work blue, but sometimes it works.
Yeah.
If you force it, it won't work, but sometimes it does. And when it does, it's great. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I wish nothing but great success, and please keep in touch with us because we'll promote it. And when it's ready to go, we'll have you back on, or have Josh. We'll have Josh. Let me see if I can do that.
You can.
We'll have Josh come back on. Keep working on that.
His voice is very entertaining, I gotta say.
He's entertaining. I love the guy. Matt, thank you very much, and best of luck with everything. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, sir. Awesome. Take care.